Alex once again with another episode of the EOT News Flash. This is the Ixalan Limited set review. Set review time. Anyway, I promise not to do my Jeff Goldblum impersonation despite there being many, many dinosaurs in this set. So you're welcome for that. Now, as these things usually progress, we've got four different levels of ratings, one through four. The ones being the cards that you should never, ever play. Twos being your generic filler, which most of your limited decks shall be. Your threes are your much more powerful premium removal spells and creatures. And the fours are the bombs that you go, ooh, look, Glorybringer, I'm gonna play red now. It's pretty simple. We've also got two additional categories that you'll see pop up every once in a while. We have S for sideboard, cards that you should bring in case your opponent has something that you need to be able to destroy, like an enchantment or an artifact. And we also have your Bs for build around. A lot of times in draft, you'll have cards that are specifically geared towards one specific archetype, and they're only good in that archetype. And I'll make note of those where those are. And also, if there are any cards that I think are particularly good for constructed play, as in standard or modern, I'll be sure to note those as well and kind of give my thoughts on the cards overall. But tonight, we're kicking things off with the white and the blue cards, as we usually do. And our very first white card is Adanto Vanguard. It's a one and a white vampire soldier at uncommon. It's a 1/1. And as long as it is attacking, it gets +2/+0. Not bad, but there's more. You can pay 4 life and it gains indestructible until the end of turn. Now, I don't know about you guys, but a 2-mana 3/1 is already pretty nuts. And when you already are playing the vampire deck, which definitely does have a little bit of lifelink in there, or just incidental lifelink, that 4 life probably won't matter. And this thing will trade up a lot. There are a lot of X3s in this set. I gave our Vanguard here a 2.5. Not bad at all. Next up, we've got Ashes of the Abhorrent. 1 and a white gets you an enchantment at rare that does not let players cast spells from graveyards or activate abilities of cards in graveyards. Whenever a creature dies, you gain 1 life. Now, obviously, this is probably completely unplayable limited unless there's some wacky shenanigan that I haven't seen yet. This is a complete sideboard card. And that being said, this is much more applicable to things like modern or standard where there are graveyard shenanigans going on there. So pick them up now while they're cheap, put them back in your trade binder, and forget about them until it's time to bring these bad boys out. As it stands, just a sideboard card. Next up, we have Axis of Mortality. 4 white gets you a mythic rare enchantment. Must be good. At the beginning of your upkeep, you may have 2 target players exchange life totals. What? Okay, this card is really stupid. There is no circumstance in which you should play this because eventually, it's not going to do anything. You Commander fanatics out there, go crazy with this one. But as it stands, this is a plain, simple 1. Do not put this in your limited decks, please. Moving right along, we've got Bellowing Agasaur, our first dinosaur. 5 and a white gets you an uncommon dinosaur with Enrage. This is our first Enrage card. Basically, whenever a card that has Enrage takes damage, it does a thing. And in the case of our Bellowing Agasaur buddy, he puts a +1/+1 counter on each other creature you control. He's also a 3/5 and just happens to go into this pseudo-infinite combo with Walking Ballista. So that's a thing. As it stands, 2.5, you know, a 6-mana bot and on a 3/5 body, this will block a ton of things and will soak up most red removal, and it will only die to the black removal in this set, actually. And of course, with that Enrage mechanic going on, your opponents will be hard pressed to attack into this thing lest your team gets bigger. So there you go, 2.5, pretty solid playable. Next up, the Bishop of Rebirth. 3 white gets you a Vampire Cleric at rare. It's a 3/4 with Vigilance. Whenever it attacks, you may return target creature with converted mana cost 3 or less from your graveyard to the battlefield. Sun Titan, this is not, but then again, the Titans were broken as it was. So I give this guy a 3, or no, she gets a 3. A lot of times you will have a surplus of 3 or less CMC creatures in your decks, so this thing is just insanely powerful. Having vigilance on a creature that already has a bigger toughness than it does power, excuse me, makes this thing pretty darn good. We're not starting over because of the sneeze. But yeah, solid 3 here for me on the Bishop of Rebirth. Next up, Bishop Soldier. 1 and a white, common vampire soldier, 2/2 lifelink. I really like good solid bears, and this is a very good solid bear. 2.5 for me. Nothing flashy, but is a great filler on the curve and will beat it against my for you. Not bad at all. Moving right along, we've got Bright Reprisal. Let's get that focus up a little bit better there for you people. There we go. 4 and a white gets you an instant at uncommon, destroys target attacking creature, and it lets you draw a card. Okay, this may be expensive, but this is solid, unconditional removal. Like, this is just good stuff. If it was, you know, a little bit cheaper, it's a definite 3, but in any white deck, you are going to play this. 2.5 for me. Very good removal spell, and who doesn't like drawing cards? Next up, we have Demystify. A single white mana gets you an instant at common to destroy a target enchantment. Now, there are a handful of enchantments in this set that you will want to kill on sight. So, if you see one, bring it in at your sideboard, but leave it there for the time being. Next, Duskborn Sky Marcher. 1 white gets you a Vampire Cleric at uncommon. It's a 1/1. It flies, and by paying a 1 and tapping it, target attacking vampire gets +1/+1 until the end of turn. Not bad. The only problem with this thing is that it's so cheap, and eventually it's not going to be doing a whole lot except for pumping your vampires up, and that's just kind of underwhelming. It's a bad top deck. It just gets a 2 for me. It's just good generic curve filler, and it's not very good at that. Moving right along, we've got the Emissary of Sunrise. 2 and a white gets you a Cumin Cleric. 2/1 at uncommon, has first strike. When it enters the battlefield, it explores. Now, explores a brand new mechanic for the set that basically says, when it enters the battlefield, it explores, reveal the top card of your library, put that card into your hand as a land card. Otherwise, put a +1/+1 counter on this creature, then put that card back or put it into your graveyard. So it goes on top or the graveyard, kind of like a pseudo scry effect. Now, whether or not this mechanic is actually good is, I have no idea, to be completely honest. Every color in the set has some level of explorer, so it's kind of an incidental mechanic, if anything. I'm going to reserve judgment on the explore mechanic as it is, so I'm just going to kind of grade it on kind of a vacuum for the time being. So Emissary of Sunrise gets a 2.5 for me because it's a 3-mana 2/1 first striker. That can potentially become a 3/2 first striker for 3. That's pretty nuts and will kill a lot of things in this set. But again, the explore mechanic, I'm holding judgment on it until the pre-release, and at that point, I'll give you guys a report on what I actually think about it, when I've actually gotten to play with it, of course. Next up, we've got the first in a really weird cycle, and I don't understand what the cycle's about, but they're all 1 mana, and they'll have a stupidly high activated mana cost of like 8, and they do something relative, I guess, relevant. But this is Encampment Keeper. This is a 1-white hound at common, 1/1, has first strike, and you can pay 7 and a white and tap it, sacrifice it, and the creatures you control get +2/+2 till the end of turn. So I guess if your board gets really stalled out, you can sack this thing? Maybe? It's just too small. And like, if you need a good anthem effect for the late game and you expect the game to go long, I mean, sure, but ugh. No thanks. Just a 2 for me. Next up, Glorifier of Dusk. 3 white-white gets you a 4/4 Vampire Soldier at uncommon. Pay 2 life to give it flying, and you can also pay 2 life to give it vigilance until the end of turn. That's pretty solid. Again, a lot of these vampires do have lifelink, and therefore, that's really not going to matter. Just paying that 2 life and giving this thing vigilance or flying to beat through when it matters, really, really powerful. 2.5 for me, really solid creature on the curve. And even just by itself, 5 and a 4/4s are nothing to laugh at, people. Next up, we've got Goring Ceratops. 5 white-white gets you a rare dinosaur, 3/3, double strike, and whenever it attacks, other creatures you control gain double strike until the end of turn. Damn. Now, this being our first, what I consider, actual dinosaur, being that it's got a huge casting cost, there is something to note about these things. A lot of them do have this when it attacks or when it enters the battlefield, it does a thing. Problem being that they're so high up on the curve at 7 mana. If this thing swings once, the game's probably over. If you resolve it, the game might just be over already. So not as high on this as I would be if it were like 5 or 6 mana, because at that point, it is busted. But as it stands, it's a 2.5 for me. This is a really powerful rare. I would not be opposed to first picking this in a draft or starting in my white decks in limited. Moving on. Imperial Aerosaur. 3 and a white gets you a 3/3 dinosaur at uncommon, flying. When it enters the battlefield, another target creature you control gets +1/+1 and gains flying until the end of turn. So it's the old scoop a guy up and fly him on over. Kind of neat. Imperial Aerosaur gets a 2.5 for me. This is a 3. This is a 4-mana 3/3 flyer, which is already good stats. Flyers are always good and limited, and this one is no different. And it happens to have a sweet ability on top of it. 2.5, not bad. Next up, Imperial Lancer. It is a 1-white human knight at uncommon when it has a double strike when you control a dinosaur. It is a 1/1. I guarantee you, if you're playing this card, you probably have a dinosaur on board at the same time, and then it's a double striker. Pretty simple stuff here. That being said, though, 1-1 double striker will not get through a lot of things that are in this set. Lots of things have 3 toughness or more, or it's just going to trade and probably trade up once, but other than that, I'm not really all impressed by this guy. Just a 2 for me. Next up, moving right along, we have the Inspiring Cleric. 2 and a white, 3/2 uncommon vampire cleric. Enters the battlefield, gain 4 life. That's not bad. It's already good size for the body. 3/2 for 3 is always a good rate, and just gaining life is very, very good. Like I said, the vampires have an incidental life get attached to them. Very, very good stuff. Now, I go on this tirade every single time I do one of these set reviews, and whether or not you believe this is completely up to you. I've experienced this a few times, and I've also experienced the opposite. And what I'm talking about here is the idea of life gain and limited. There is a point that if you gain enough life, your opponents can't actually win. Their decks are only designed to deal about 20 points of damage, not 27, 28, 30 points of damage. And so I've been able to get over the hump before. Sometimes I haven't. So just something to think about. When you're building your decks, don't try and just go for the early sprint. Go for the long game in some cases. And if you have to deal 30 points of damage or more, sometimes you gotta go that extra mile. And this is where cards like that will make your opponent actually work for it. That's 4 life gained. That's a whole turn of attacking, possibly. That's another card drawn. Another card drawn closer to your bomb. Life gain is super relevant in limited people. Always, always take advantage of it. 2.5 for me. Really good card. Next up, we have Ixalan's Binding. 3 and a white gets you an enchantment at uncommon. When it enters the battlefield, exile target non-land permanent opponent controls, and until Ixalan's Binding leaves the battlefield, your opponent can't cast spells with the same name as the exiled card. Now, obviously, that second line of text is more for standard play, where it's actually going to have multiples of different cards in their hand. Now, that being said, this is still a 4-mana Oblivion Ring, and Oblivion Ring is always going to be good. It just doesn't have that weird Oblivion Ring infinite line text. So, as it stands, though, this is still a really good removal spell. This is a solid 3 for me. Unconditional removal is always going to be good for me. Next up, Khinjali's Collar. 1 white gets you a human cleric at common. It's a 0/3, and dinosaur spells you cast cost 1 less to cast. Now, obviously, this goes in the dinosaur deck. Obviously. Only problem with this thing is that it's a bad top deck, and a lot of the dinosaurs are already well situated on curve, so I'm not entirely sure that having these little accelerator guys is going to be completely necessary unless you get them in multiples. And at that point, having that, you know, cascading effect of having 1 and then 2 in play to get your dinosaurs out faster might be worth it, but as it stands, like I said, they're all cast to cost to cast early enough in the game, except for the really big heavy drops like we'll see in green and gold. But as it stands, it's decent. It's a decent blocker to 0/3. I gave it a 2. Still not impressive, though. Next up, we've got Khinjali's Sunwing. 2 and a white gets you a 2/3 rare dinosaur with flying that causes creatures your opponent control to enter the battlefield tapped. All right, solid ability there. It's like Thalia, but it's a dinosaur, which makes her cooler than that. And it also flies, which is really good. Now, it's not going to matter a whole lot, but there are enough creatures in this set that having that tap battlefield and a battlefield trigger tap will be a relevant thing, and you will be able to steal games with this ability. So it's solid. It also flies. I gave this bad boy a 3. Next up, we've got Legion Conquistador. 2 and a white gets you a 2/2 vampire soldier at common. When it enters the battlefield, you may search your library for any number of cards named Legion Conquistador. Reveal them, put them into your hand, and then shuffle your library. So it's like a Squadron Hawk, but not. Obviously, the first one is pretty decent. At 2, you're good. At 3, you're really talking. At 4, well, you do the math. By itself, it's just a 2 for me. 3-mana 2/2 beaters are just fine curve filler, but if you do have multiples of these, by all means, go crazy. Maybe don't have Jace. Oh, well. Well, Mind Sculptor, I should say. Next up, we have Legion's Judgment. 2 and a white gets to a sorcery at common. Destroy target creature with power 4 or greater. Yeah, there's a bunch of these in this format. Play this bad boy. Kill them dinos. 2.5 for me. Simple stuff. Next up, we've got Looming Altasaur. 3 and a white gets you a 1/7 dinosaur at common. Holy cow. I gave this a 2 just because it's a 1/7. Like, what is this going to be doing other than blocking for you? Now, that being said, there is a gold uncommon dinosaur that makes this thing a lot better, but you've got to have it to go with this. And it does make the cards that do have this obscenely high toughness related to their power. And at that point, it gets a little bit better, but in a vacuum by itself, this thing's just a 2. It's going to block for a long time for you, but that's about it. Not that great. Next up, we've got Maverin Thane, the Dusk Apostle. 2 and a white gets you a legendary vampire cleric at rare to 2/2. Whenever one or more vampires you control attack, create a 1/1 white vampire creature token with lifelink. That's not bad at all. If only this thing could fly. Damn. Because basically what you're looking at here is that once the board gets too clogged up, you can't afford to attack with Maverin here anymore. But you can attack with your other vampires getting the tokens. And at that point, it gets a little bit better. It's kind of like an army in a can. But it's still a solid rare here. 2.5 for me. I like Maverin a lot. Next up, Paladin of the Bloodstained. 3 and a white gets you a 3/2 Vampire Knight at common. When it enters the battlefield, create a 1/1 white vampire creature token with lifelink. You're going to be hearing that a lot from this set. Yeah, this thing's not terrible either. 4 mana 3/2s is a perfectly fine rate for a common. Getting an extra body is also really powerful too. Yeah, it's a 2 for me. Solid curve filler. Unfortunately, it will trade down a lot with the other colors, so play it at your own risk. Next up, we've got Pious Interdiction. 3 and white gets you an enchantment aura that enchants a creature. When it enters the battlefield, gain 2 life. The enchanted creature cannot attack or block. So this is kind of like a pacifism effect with a little bit of extra bonus tacked onto the top of it. I'm always a fan of cards like this. I only give it a 2 for some reason. That can't be right. Pacifism effects are sweet. I always like playing those effects. So I give this a 2.5 on a relook. It is a little bit high on the curve, but other than that, this card is pretty solid here. Just watch out for bounce effects. Next up, Priest of the Waking Sun. Did I get this out of order? No, we're good. 1 white creature, human cleric. At rare, it's a 1/1. Beginning of your upkeep, you may reveal a dinosaur from your hand, and if you do, you may gain 2 life. So that's kind of cool. And you can pay 3 white and sacrifice it, and you may search your library for a dinosaur card, put it into your hand, and shuffle your library. Cool. I have no idea how relevant this dinosaur reveal trigger is going to be. Again, it goes back to that whole lifelink thing, but this doesn't rumble, and unless you have a bomb dinosaur to go get, I'd leave this one alone. But as it is, it's a 2. It does a thing. It's not terrible, I guess. Next up, we've got Pterodon Knight. The P is silent, people. 3 and a white for a 3/3 human knight, and it has flying as long as you control a dinosaur. That's kind of sweet. It's just a 2, though. Nothing too fancy. But if you do have the flying ability, it gets a whole lot better. Probably a 2.25 in that case for me. Next up, Queen's Commission. 2 and a white gets you a sorcery at common that creates 2, say it with me, white vampire creature tokens with lifelink. Like, this isn't terrible. They're just chump blockers. Meh. I gave it a 2. It's nothing that fancy to write home about. But if you are in a deck with a lot of high, with a very high density of vampires and a couple of the payoff vampires in black, then you got something on your hands here. Next up, Rallying Roar. 2 and a white instant at uncommon. Creatures you control get +1/+1 until the end of turn and you untap them. I guarantee you, I'm going to say like 10 of you out there, maybe more, will die to this card. Because you'll swing in thinking the coast is clear, and they're going to go, no, bro. Pump them up, untap them, block, now you're dead. I'm just saying, it's going to happen. This is a 2.5 for me. I love massive, swingy effects like this in Limited that can just reset the entire board or, you know, save all the creatures. Really, really insane here, giving pseudo vigilance, all kinds of cool tricks you can do with this. Watch out for this card in Limited. Saying it right now. Next up, we've got Raptor Companion. Want to know why it gets to a dinosaur at common? It's a 3-1, and that's it. This is still completely reasonable. It's going to kill a lot of things, and it's only going to trade with small things, too, so not bad. 2.25 for me. Moving right along, we have the Ritual of Rejuvenation. 2 and a Waikatsu, an instant common. Gain 4 life, draw a card. Now, I know it's about life gain. And I'm going to redact it for this one alone. Life gain alone on a card is not worth the card. Yes, it essentially cycles for 3 and gains 4 life, but I would be really, really hard-pressed for playables or in a deck that really wants to gain a lot of life to make this even relevant. 1.5, it's almost playable. Almost. Next up, we've got Sanguine Sacrament. X, white, white, instant at rare. You gain twice X life and you put it on the bottom of its owner's library. That's interesting. At least you can't deck anymore, right? I gave this a 2 just because it's only life gain. It's not drain and gain. Maybe if you're playing some kind of blue-white or white-black mid-range or control-based deck in a draft, this might have a little bit more play to it. As it is, it's just a 2 because this isn't affecting the board, and it really only is stalling out your opponent. It being an instant gives it a little bit more play, but I'm still not a huge fan of this one. It's just a 2 for me. Next up, we have Settle the Wreckage. 2 white white gets you a instant at rare. Ooh, already good. Exile all attacking creatures target player controls. That player may search his or her library for that many basic land cards. Put those cards on the hold tapped, and then shuffle his or her library. So it's like super path to exile. This has to be good, right? Yes. It is exiling. If the board has gotten sold and go for an alpha swing, by all means, fire this off and laugh all the way to top 8. Whatever. Just be aware that those lands will come back to bite you if you cast this on 4 and you ramp them to 7. Don't blame me. But seriously, this card is actually pretty sweet. It's a 2.5 for me. This probably is going to see some standard play, actually. Maybe even some modern play. Who knows? Next up, we've got Sheltering Light, an uncommon for white mana, instant. Target creature gains indestructible until the end of turn and you scry 1. Why the hell is this uncommon? Card's stupid. The scry's not worth it, the indestructible's not worth it, it's just not worth it at all. 1. I can't even imagine why you want to play this, just don't. Next up, Shining Aerosaur is a 4 and a white dinosaur at common, 3-4 flying. Good in my book. Yeah, gave this thing a 2.25. It's a big flyer for not an unreasonable mana cost. Solid. Next up, Skyblade of the Legion, 1 and a white, 1-3 vampire soldier at common. It also has flying, as most of these vampires do. Again, not terrible. One problem being is that it's not going to be able to tangle with a lot of the things that are in the air. The 3 toughest will hold off a couple of the other flyers, but not too many. And eventually this thing will get outclassed very quickly, unfortunately. So, just a 2 for me. Next up, we've got Slash of Talons. A single white mana gets you an instant at common, deals 2 damage to attacking or blocking creature. This isn't terrible here. The only problem with it that I have is that it won't kill a lot of creatures in this format. Some, just not enough. So that's why it's good for, you know, post-combat or after first strike damage, just things like that. You've got to time this thing carefully, and then you get some maximum value out of it. At that point, 2.25 for me. Not terrible. Next up, Steadfast Armasaur. 3 and a white gets you an uncommon 2-3 dinosaur with vigilance. You may pay 1 and a white, and it deals damage equal to its toughness to target creature blocked by it. So that's pretty sweet. I like this a lot better with pump effects, you know, some of the green pump spells or any ones that give +1/+1 counters. Then you got something on your hands right here. As it stands, though, 2.5 for me. This thing's really, really powerful, I think. And with enough of the pump effects, or maybe static pump effects from other dinosaurs, really, really solid here. I like this guy a lot. Next up, we've got the Sunrise Seeker. 4 and a white for a 3-3 vigilance. And when it enters the battlefield, you explore. So at best, you're getting a 5 mana 4-4 with vigilance. That's playable, I guess. 2.25 for me. Nothing to write home about. Next up, we've got the Territorial Hammer Skull. 2 and a white gets you a common 2-3 dinosaur. When it attacks, tap target creature an opponent controls. Yeah, now we're talking. I love cheap, aggressive white creatures like this that have this fun little ability attacked onto them. This thing is really, really powerful. It's a 2.25 for me. It's a shame it doesn't have its toughness flipped at that point. I think it might be a little bit better. That's just me, though. But this will get through for a couple points of damage and maybe even trade up at some points if you do have some pump spells. 2.25 for me. I like this little guy a lot. He's got moxie. Next up, we have the Tocal... Damn it. Tocatli Honor Guard. I swear. Wizards. Every single set, you throw me some other stupid word I have to learn, and I forget it like 6 months later. That's it. Tocatli Honor Guard. 1 and a white, 1/3 human soldier at rare. Creatures entering the battlefield don't cause abilities to trigger. That's actually kind of relevant in a lot from a lot of these creatures. I only give it a 1.5 unless your opponent has a ton of ETB effects. At that point, it goes a little bit more in stock. Maybe a 2, but I would still mandate this thing probably. Just won't be happy about playing it. Incidental value, meh. Next up, Vampire Zeal. 1 white instant at common. Target creature gets +2/+2 until the end of turn. If it's a vampire, it gains first strike as well. That's pretty sweet. There's a lot of vampires in this set that could benefit from a boost of power like this to trade up with bigger creatures, which a lot of them won't be able to with their base stats. So this thing isn't terrible, and first strike, not bad at all. I give this a 2, though, just because it's not great a lot of times. Your opponent will see this coming and possibly play around it, but good pump effects are still plenty good. Solid filler here. I like it a lot. Next up, we've got our last white card, and it's a doozy. We have the Waking Sun's Awakening. Sun's Avatar, 5 white. That's 8 mana. But what does it get you, Johnny? It gets you a mythic rare dinosaur avatar, 7/7. And when it enters the battlefield, if you cast it from your hand, destroy all non-dinosaur creatures. Oof. Yeah, this thing's insane. It's a 3, though. It's I can only go that high unless this format is really, really slow. Triple white is a big ask and limited. So just be careful about first picking this or putting it in your decks. You've got to hit that triple white, and then you can blow up the board. And hopefully, if you're drafting, for instance, or if your sealed deck has a lot of dinosaurs in it, you can basically make this a one-sided wrath effect. If not, well, a little bit worse, but still, that's a big old booty on this guy. Very, very nice. Now, before I forget, we've got to go find Legion's Landing, because Wizards can't put all the cards on the same page together. So it's what it is. So we're going to go over to double face cards really quickly. Legion's Landing. This is a single white enchantment, legendary enchantment at rare. When in the battlefield, you create a 1/1 white vampire creature token with lifelink. And when you attack with 3 or more creatures, you transform Legion's Landing into... This is actually pretty cool. Ooh. Adanto the First Fort. Legendary land. It taps for a white, and you may pay 2 and a white to create a 1/1 white vampire creature token with lifelink. This thing gets a 3. This could be actually be better than that. This card is insane. It's just insane. Turn 1, followed by a vampire on turn 2. Turn 3, turn 4, attack, flip this thing. Start making vampires. Holy cow, this card's nuts. This probably will see some standard play as well. I like this card a lot. It is a solid 3 for me. Now, moving on to the blue cards. Who doesn't love blue cards? I love blue cards. My favorite color, Magic. We're going to kick things right off with an old favorite. It's the Air Elemental. 3 blue-blue gets you a 4/4 uncommon elemental that flies. Cool. Yeah, this thing's basically a dragon. 2.5 for me. This will tangle with a lot of the bigger threats in the format, save for some of the bigger green creatures. But other than that, this thing will beat down and kill your opponents quickly. Not bad for me. Next up, Arcane Adaption. 2 and a blue gets you an enchantment at rare. Enters the battlefield, choose a creature type. Creatures you control are the chosen creature type in addition to other types. The same holds true for creature spells you control and creature cards you own but aren't on the battlefield. So in your library, in your hand, over there, in your trade binder, they're all whatever you want them to be. That's just how this card works. This is far better in draft. This is a one in sealed, but a draft. This is a build around me through and through. I would first pick this and start picking up every card that says, when this re-enters the battlefield, do this if you control a this. And then just go nuts with it. Vampire, dinosaur, merfolk, whatever it is, go nuts. This card, I think, could be pretty powerful. But as it stands, just a one or a build around me in draft. Next up, one blue blue, you know what it is. It's cancel, it's back. Instant common counter target spell. This is always gonna get a two for me. Unless this format is really, really slow, at that point it gets a little bit better. But as a rule of thumb, holding up mana and not progressing your board in limited, sealed, draft, what have you, and then not be able to counter a spell maybe if something goes wrong, then you look like a fool. Start these only if you're playing a really controlling deck. Other than that, sideboard these bad boys. Next up, we've got Chart a Course. One in a blue sorcery draws two cards, and you may discard a card unless you attack with a creature this turn. That's pretty sweet here. Attacking is a bread and butter of limited. This will always draw you two cards in most cases. I like this card a lot. I gave it a two, just because it's still just card draw, doesn't affect the board. You know the spiel, blah, blah, blah. Next up, Daring Saboteur. One in a blue gets you a 2-1 human pirate at rare. It's a 2, and for paying 2 in a blue, it can't be blocked this turn. Whenever it deals combat damage to a player, you may draw a card, and if you do, discard a card. Wizards, can we just have straight card draw on these things anymore? Does it have to be looting? I mean, I get it. Pirates loot. It makes sense. But come on, just draw a card. Draw a card. Draw a card. That's all I'm asking for. As it stands, this thing's not terrible. It's a two for me. In the late game, this will start getting in for some chip shots damage. And in the early games, if you have the mana to spare holding up tempo spells, maybe you'll get in there. But it is a very small body and will die to a lot of other just minor creatures. So maybe better in standard, where this thing isn't under constant, they're just getting killed by other chump blockers. Moving on, Deadeye Quartermaster. 3 to blue gets you a 2-2 human pirate at uncommon. When it enters the battlefield, you may search your library for an equipment or vehicle card, reveal it, and put it into your hand and shuffle your library. So I'm level with you guys. I've seen the equipment. I've seen the vehicles. Unless you have one of the good ones, don't play this card. 3 mana 2-2s that shuffle your library, not very good. Now, if you have something to go with it, a little bit better, but not impressed. 1.5 for me. Goes up in stock if you actually have something to go with it. Next up, we've got Deep Root Waters. 2 and a blue gets you an enchantment, uncommon. Whenever you cast a merfolk spell, create a 1-1 blue merfolk creature token with hexproof. So this is kind of like Bitter Blossom, but for mermaids instead. This is a plain and simple build around me card for me. In draft, take this early and then take your merfolk, or get multiple of these and then take your merfolks. Playing this in sealed is a much, much more difficult proposition because you cannot guarantee that you'll have the quantity of merfolk required to really make this shine. You're probably gonna need somewhere in the neighborhood of 12 to 15 to actually make this be worth it. So build around it and then go from there. Next up, we've got There we go. Depths of Desires. 2 in a blue gets you an instant at common. Return target creature to its owner's hand and create a colorless treasure token. And these are like lotus petals. You tap them, you sack them, and you add any color of mana you want to your mana pool. Very, very nice. I like good tempo spells. This one's a little bit expensive, though, even though you do get the lotus petal back, so it's effectively 2 mana, but not really. This is a 2 for me. I've seen better tempo spells, and we'll see better ones in this eventually, too. So, still decent, though. Next up, we have Dive Down. A single blue mana gets you an instant at common. Target creature you control gets +0/+3 and gains hexproof until the end of turn. I think it should have given it unblockable, personally. You're going under the water, and you can't really block things that are under the water, but whatever. I gave this a 1.5. The hexproof is nice, I guess, if your opponent has a ton of removal, sure, but this card's not very good. Just not very good. Moving right along to Dream Caller Siren. 2 blue blue gets you a Siren Pirate. It's a rare 3/3 flash and flying. I already love this card. When it enters the battlefield, it will tap up to 2 target non-land permanents if you control another pirate, which hopefully you should, and it can only block creatures with flying, but that really doesn't matter. I think it's just a beater. Done. I gave our Doomcaller Siren a 2.75 for me. The ability to only block creatures with flying and the condition to have a pirate in play to actually trigger its ability knocks it a little bit, but more often than not, this is a solid beater in the air. Flash, tap some guys, tempo them out, kill them. Awesome card. Probably going to see some standard play too. If I see pirate decks, this will be in there. Next up, we have Entrancing Melody. X blue blue gets a sorcery at rare, and it gains control of target creature with commanding cost X. The things that are worth stealing are like 6 mana, 5 mana. I'm not sure you're going to have the time to actually tap out for 7 mana to steal something of theirs, but hey, you can try. This is a 2 for me. Not that all impressed by it. Next up is a returning favorite of mine, Favorable Winds. 1 in a blue enchantment gets you an uncommon, and it gives creatures you control a flying +1/+1. Pretty sweet. There are enough flyers in this set to make it worth it, but this is really more of a build around me card. If you've got it in sealed and you've got the flyers, sure, go for it, but I think you might have a better slot to just play another creature or another removal spell, something to actually affect the board. Now in draft, where you pick up all the flyers you want, make an army, go crazy with this. The card's pretty insane at that point, but it's still just a build around for me. Next up, we've got the Fleet Swallower. 5 blue blue gets you a creature fish at rare, 6/6. Whenever it attacks, target player puts the top half or his or her library rounded up into his or her graveyard. So this cannot kill your opponent, but it can get pretty damn close, because by the time it's actually attacking, your opponent's already likely drawn 14 or more cards, which means that they've got a little over half their library left. This is gonna be gone in about 3 shots, and they're probably gonna be dead too. So pretty sweet, but 7 mana, it's a lot to get on the battlefield. It's a lot to worry about getting killed or bounced or anything like that. 2.25 for me. Solid finisher, but probably not my go-to finisher in blue. Next up, we have Headwater Centuries. 3 in a blue, gets you a 2/5. It's a merfolk. And a warrior. And it's a common. Yep. Gave it a 2. Solid filler. And it's not very good filler at that. Next up, we have Herald of Secret Streams. 3 in a blue gets you a 2/3 merfolk warrior at rare, and it gives creatures you control +1/+1 counters on them the ability to, or just, they can't be blocked. Not the ability, they just can't be blocked. Yeah, so unfortunately, merfolk got their +1/+1 mechanic, or their +1/+1 counters matter theme going into the set pretty late development, as I understand it, so this really isn't all that well fleshed out. Maybe we'll see a better theme in Rivals of Exelon towards the end of the year. But as it stands, this guy's not that great. He doesn't give himself a +1/+1 counter. Now, that's being said, there are enough green merfolk that actually give the counter, so at that point, you've got an excuse, but on its own, it's pretty underwhelming. You've got to have the backup for it to actually matter. It might as well just be a 2/3/4 in some cases. 2.25 for me if you have the upside. Next up, oh, here he is. Jace the Cunning Castaway. 1 blue blue gets you a legendary Planeswalker Jace. That's right, they have changed the rules on Planeswalkers. You can now have different Planeswalkers of the same name. So you have this guy and Mind Sculptor, this guy and Balaren, this guy, Architect of Thought, this guy, Living Guild Pact, this guy, Memory Adept, this guy, Vryn's Prodigy, all in the play at the same time. Who am I forgetting? I forget. Stealer of Secrets, there we go. 1 blue blue gets you a legendary Planeswalker Jace at Mythic Rare. It is a 3 loyalty, +1 whenever one or more creatures you control deal combat damage to a player. This turn, draw a card, then discard a card. So it's a cool little loot effect, more of an aggressive Jace here, if anything. -2, create a 2/2 blue illusion creature token with, when this creature becomes targeted by a spell, sacrifice it. Now, traditionally, all illusion creatures like this will sacrifice on a spell or ability. So this is actually a lot better, and just can keep him alive for a lot longer because it's only half the things that can actually target it, and I don't think your opponent's going to be wasting removal spells on tokens. So there you go. -5 creates 2 tokens that are copies of Jace Cunning Castaway, except they aren't legendary. So if you know, get this guy to 5 and just pop the ultimate, you're probably winning the game at that point. Jace is a 3.5 for me. He is seriously powerful. And in a good blue tempo deck, or just really any blue deck that can just attack, this is going to do a lot of damage over the course of the game. And again, that ultimate. I don't know where this is going in terms of making multiple versions of Planeswalkers or why this is relevant in Standard, but this is cool. This is cool. Next up, we've got Kopala, Warden of Waves. One blue-blue gets you a legendary creature, Merfolk Wizard, at rare, 2-2. Spells your opponent's control... Spells your opponent's cast that target a Merfolk you control cost 2 more to cast. And the same for abilities. Also cast 2 more to actually activate. Kopala is interesting. By itself, or herself, or himself, I'm not quite sure, it's just a 2-2 for 3. So in limited, sealed, you've got to have some Merfolk to actually make it worth it. Now, if you draft this thing, like first pick, and then build a Merfolk deck, then you've got something going here. But again, it's kind of awkward. I mean, it's no Kira Greatglass Spinner. Yeah, it's a Merfolk, but that thing flies and counters spells. This thing just makes you spell piercing. That's not that great. I'm torn on this. If I see it doing great things at the pre-release or online when I'm watching drafts and drafting myself, I could get some better rating, but 2.5 for me, kind of a build around me. We'll see about this one. Next up, Lookout's Dispersal. 2 and a blue for an instant at uncommon, and it costs 1 less to cast if you control pirates, so it turns into mana leak plus. Counter target spell unless its controller pays 4. Not bad at all, but again, holding up mana in games of limited, especially sealed, is not a great idea when you can be actually affecting the board with a creature or a removal spell or anything. Now, in draft, these things get a lot better because you can actually play the game you want to play by drafting the deck you want to, and can make counter magic like this a lot more attractive to play in. So take it as you will. 2.25 for me, though. Next up, we've got Navigator's Ruin. 2 and a blue for an enchantment at uncommon has raid. This is our first raid card. Surprisingly, not in black? Sure. At the beginning of your end step, if you attack with a creature this turn, target opponent puts the top 4 cards of his or her library into his or her graveyard. All right. I know I've said in the past that Mill will not get there in limited. This one can. All of the pirates that you've been wanting to play with, all the merfolk, for the most part, have some sort of evasion, whether it's flying or minutes or whatever. Just keep attacking and mill them out. Eventually, they run out of cards. I don't know if I'd start this all the time, but at 2.25 for me, I'm willing to give this a pretty big chance. Next up, we have One with the Wind. One in a blue is an enchantment aura at common. Enchanted creature gives it +2/+2, and flying. Not terrible. Yeah, actually, it's terrible. I've never been a fan of these kinds of static pump effects in limited because you have things like just like sharp removal spells to get rid of it before the enchantment actually resolves. Bouncing it just blows up the entire thing. So play with these very carefully. That's all I'm going to say about these. Solid 2 for me. Decent curve filler if you need to get one of your bigger guys across the board. Why not? Next up, we have a card that hasn't been printed in, I believe, 15 years. This is Opt, a single blue mana, gets you an instant at common, scries one and draws a card. Now this is being talked about a lot in Modern to replace things like Thought Scour, Seer and Vision, Peak, Sleight of Hand. It's not going to happen, so just stop. Now Unlimited, this one's rough. I mean, to scry and draw, not that great. In Draft, we got a little bit more play to it just because it is a pseudo-tempo spell. It's a card selection spell, so I can see the value in playing it. Just I'm not super sold on it. I'll need to play this one myself in drafts and sealed and give it a better rating at that point, but for the time being, it's just a 2 for me. Next up, we've got Overflowing Insight. How many cards would you draw for 7 mana? How about 1 for each minute you just paid at sorcery speed? It's a mythic rare. Draws 7 cards for a target player. Don't play this. I like cards that say draw more cards. I like blue cards that say draw more cards. I like Sphinx's Revelation, Tidings, Blue Sun Zenith. This is not any of those, even close. This is a 1, unless you are drafting the slowest, dirtliest of control decks. Don't play this. Unless this format for sealed is super slow, I mean glacially slow. Don't play this. Perilous Voyage is next. One in a blue gets you an instant at uncommon, return target non-land permanent you don't control to its owner hand. If its converted mana cost was 2 or less, scry 2. That's actually pretty sweet. This is a bounce spell I can get behind. Also, it shows that Jace is falling off a cliff and Vraska's failing to save him. I don't know what that means. But yeah, this is actually a lot better if you're going to be playing this. Good bounce spells are good, especially on target non-land permanents. That means that it's going to hit planeswalkers, artifacts, enchantments, everything this will hit. And the bonus of scrying, even better. But there aren't enough creatures in this set to actually make it worth it. So just be careful about how you actually want to use this. Use it for the bounce, and if you get the scry value out of it, cool. Next up, we have Pirate's Prize. 3 in a blue gets you a sorcery at common, draws 2 cards, and creates a colorless creature token with... Dang it. Draw 2 cards, make a treasure. It's a little spell. Simple stuff. This is not great. If things, again, are slow, but not as slow as you would like for Overflowing Insight, then you can play this card. There is going to be a demand for 3-color decks in this format. I don't know why people decide to do this, but ever since Khans of Tarkir came out, I always see people playing 3 colors when they shouldn't be, and these treasures give you the ability to do that without actually having to play lands outside of your current colors. So if you're like a splash in your deck, these are worth it for that, but the deck format needs to be slow to actually have these 2 cards make an impact. It's Divination plus a Lotus Petal, and if 3 mana and a 1 mana Lotus Petal is good enough for you, go crazy. 2.25 for me, though. Next up, we've got the Prosperous Pirates. 4 and a blue gets you a human pirate at common. It's a 3/4, enters the battlefield, and you get 2 of those lovely treasures. Again, if things are slow, these things are really good. And at that point, the body is relevant enough at 5 mana to get some kind of value back. At that point, it's technically only 3 mana, but not really. I have got a 2.25 for me. Again, if you have the splash, these treasures are actually pretty relevant, and I can see you taking cards like this pretty highly. Next up, we have River Sneak. 1 of the blue gets you a 1/1 Merfolk Warrior. It can't be blocked. Whenever another Merfolk enters the battlefield under your control, it gets +1/+1 until the end of turn. Now, Slither Blade was the unsung hero of Amonkhet Draft, and this thing, I'm not quite sure is Slither Blade, but might be close. Maybe. As it stands, it's just a 2 for me. It is a clock that they have to worry about. And if you have the Merfolk, it turns into more of a build around. So at that point, it just depends on your build. But I don't know if I'd play this just because I have an open spot in my 2s. Judgment to be reserved. Next up, we have River's Rebuke. 4 blue for a sorcery at rare and return all non-land permanents target player controls to their owner's hand. Damn, I love upheaval. One side of upheaval is even better. 2.5 for me. It's 6 mana. It's a one-sided wrath. They will get those cards to play again on the following turn. But in some cases, this could just be cast this and kill them. That's pretty good for me. 2.5 for me. Next up, we've got Runaround. 3 in a blue gives you an instant at common. Put target artifact or creature on top of its owner's library. Time ebb, time walk, whatever the hell you want to call this spell. This is it. And it's a 2.25 for me just because it's 4 mana. Hitting artifacts, not super relevant. I guess you can pop a treasure if you really need to. But they're really, I guess there's enough vehicles in the set too that make the artifact ability on them relevant as well, but then there's creatures when they're crude anyway, so this card's not all that great, so 2.25 for me. Next up, Sailor of Means. 2 in a blue gets you a 1/4 human pirate at common, and when it enters battlefield, you get a treasure. Again, 2.25 for me. I like all these little treasure creator pirates. The 1/4 body isn't all that relevant. I'm not taking this guy super highly. There are better pirates that have a similar effect that are just more aggressive. And it might just be that the pirate deck is more aggressive in general. So I don't know where these blue, more defensive-minded pirates actually fit in. We'll have to see. 2.25 for me. Next, we're going to have to go back to our flip cards because I got it in order this time. And we go to search for Azkanta. I don't know. One in a blue gets you a legendary enchantment at rare. Beginning of your upkeep, you look at the top card of your library. You may put that in your graveyard. Then, if you have seven or more cards in your graveyard, you may transform. Search for Azkanta. And boy, howdy. This card's insane on the backside. Taps for a blue. Pay two and a blue and tap it. Look at the top four cards of your library. You may reveal a non-creature non-land card from among them. Put it into your hand and put the rest on the bottom of your library in any order. I want to play this in Modern Control so bad. I don't think this is probably decent enough in draft. In sealed, you don't have enough spells to actually make this worth it. But if you can draft around this and draft a ton of permission and bounce and removal spells, then you got something on your hand here. I really like this card. It's a 3. This probably will see a lot more play in Constructed. Standard, like I said, I'll play this in Modern because my God, Impulse on their instep every single turn. Man, that's just good value right there. Moving right along, we're going to skip right back down. We're going to find Shaper's Apprentice. Wherever it is. Nope, one more. There you go. One in a blue gets you a Merfolk Wizard. It's a 2/1 at common, and it has flying as long as you control another Merfolk. Cool. It's a decent beater in the air, but beyond that, not a whole lot's going on for it. 2.25 for me. I like a good beater, and in the Merfolk deck, I can see it doing some damage. Pretty good. Next up, we've got Shipwreck Looter. One in a blue gets you a common pirate, human pirate. Two in a blue. Two and a one, there we go. And it raids when it enters battlefield. If you attack with a creature this turn, you may draw a card, and if you do, discard a card. So it's a bear looter. That's still pretty good. This is a 2.25 for me. Just being a bear, 2 mana, 2/1, 2/2, whatever it's going to be, makes this already playable for me, and having that ability on the upside, just that much better. Pretty solid card. Next up, we have our blue one drop with a massive activated ability, Shorekeeper. One single blue gets you a Trilobite. Quick, pause the video. Go to Gatherer and look for all the Trilobites in Magic. I bet you it's less than 5. I bet. Unpause the video. Common 0/3, pay 7, a blue, and tap it, sacrifice it, and draw 3 cards. No thanks. No thanks. This is a 2 simply because it can block for a couple turns. If you do get to the point where you can sack this and get some cards out of it, yeah, go for it. Just a 2, not a very good one either. Next up, Siren Lookout. 2 and a blue, you get to a common Siren Pirate. It's a 1/2. It flies and it explores when it enters the battlefield. Again, this is at best a 3 mana, 2/3 flyer. That's not great, but it's not terrible either. The stats by itself don't really make up for the fact that it has flying. I'm not super happy about this guy, but if I do need some pirates for my pirate deck, I might play it. But as it stands, this is a 2 for me. Not that all impressed by it. Next up, we have Siren Storm Tamer. 1 blue gets you a 1/1 Siren Pirate Wizard at uncommon. It flies. You may pay a single blue and sacrifice it and counter target spell or ability that targets you or a creature you control. I like this guy a lot for standard. In limited draft, excluding draft, it might be a little better there if you're drafting a really aggressive pirate deck. But in sealed, it's really hard to justify creatures like this when it's it might be better. I might be. 1 mana, 1/1s just typically are not what I'm looking for in limited because it's just such a hard thing to close a game out with. And that upside, it's 1 time, and I don't know if it's worth it, and I don't think it's worth it either. So I wouldn't even go here. 1.75 for me, almost playable. Next up, we have Siren's Ruse. 1 and a blue for a common at instant. Exile target creature you control, then return it to the battlefield under its control. Under your control. If it's a pirate, draw a card. So, yeah, I'll play this probably if I'm playing an aggressive pirate deck. This is a 2 for me, just because I do need to have pirates that have a decent ETB effect to actually get any value out of this card. Otherwise, it's not really that playable. Blanking a removal spell, saving a blocker, meh. Not impressed. Next up, the return of a legend. Oh, how I miss spell person to standard. A single blue mana gets you an instant at common. Counter target non-creature spell unless its controller pays 2. Yeah, sideboard this. It actually might be playable, like mainboard it. At that point, it's almost a two, maybe a little bit better than that. If there's a spell-heavy deck that you're playing against, bring it in then. But I think this is best left in the sideboard, and if your opponent has a lot of cheap spells to play in the early game, then bring these out and pierce those spells. Next up, we have Spell Swindle. 3 blue gets an instant at rare, counter target spell, and create X colorless treasure tokens. It makes the tokens. This is like Mana Drain, but it's not 2 mana, it's 5 mana instead. This isn't terrible. Again, this is one of those times where you have to weigh the benefit. Do you hold up 5 mana to counter a spell and have your opponent not cast anything, or do you play a creature instead and affect the board? 2.25 for me, it is a 5 mana counter spell. That being said, there will be some cases where this is better in draft when you can just hold this up and really stick it to your opponent when they go for a big spell. Not bad at all, but it's not Mana Drain. Next up, Stormfleet Aerialist. 1 blue gets a flying human pirate uncommon. It's a 1/2 with flying, and enters battlefield with a +1/+1 counter if you attack a big creature this turn. This thing's kind of nuts. Because the most often, it's going to be a 2-3 for a 2 flyer, and that is an insane rate. That's like a Delver. You don't have to flip. 2.5 for me. I like this guy a lot. He's insane. Next up, Stormfleet Spy. 2 blue gets you a 2/2 human pirate at common, uncommon. And when you raid, when it's battlefield, if you've raided, you draw a card. Pretty solid right there. It's just a one-time effect, though. Maybe if you do have the ability to play things like the, what was it called? Siren's Ruse, to blink your pirates again. That might be relevant here to get those extra card draw effects. So at that point, it's pretty solid, and there's actually a creature that helps you do this as well. So this might be worth it, and 3-minute 2/2s are always playable, so 2.25 for me might even be better than that. Next up, we have Storm Sculptor. 3 blue, Merfolk Wizard Common. 3/2, can't be blocked. When it enters battlefield, return a creature you control to its owner's hand. So at that point, you can reset these red triggers, like Stormfleet Spy. Not being able to be blocked is pretty insane here. If you are in a more aggressive blue deck, if it is the Merfolk deck, even better. This thing gets a lot better. I give it a 2.25, but I can see this being a little bit better at 2.5, but I'll wait for my judgment to be passed later on. Next up, we've got Tempest Caller. 2 blue for a 2/3 Merfolk Wizard at uncommon. When it enters the battlefield, tap all creatures target opponent controls. What's that? Cryptic Command? No. It's a shame this thing doesn't fly. It feels like it should fly or should have some other kind of evasion attached to it, but this is an alpha strike waiting to happen. Your opponent has a bunch of guys in play. They're dead on board, but you just gotta get through. Topic Storm Tempest Caller, tap their dudes, kill them, and hope you don't get blown up by that white spell. Just saying it's gonna happen. 2.5 for me. This card is probably pretty insane. Next up, we have Water Trap Weaver. 2 blue, Merfolk Wizard, common 2/2. When it enters the battlefield, tap target creature running controls. That creature does not untap during its controller's next untap step. I like things like this. This is a huge tempo play, and if you can bounce something that they play at the next, awesome. 2.5 for me. I might be overvaluing this thing a little bit, but these frost effects like this are pretty insane. I like them a lot. Next up, and our final blue card, and the final card for the evening, we have Windstrider, 4 blue, common, Merfolk Wizard, 3/3, Flash Flyer. It's insane. It's a Spire Monitor. That's cool. 2.25 for me. It's probably a little bit, just having Flash and Fly makes this thing really flexible. Again, if you are playing a deck that wants to hold up things like Spell Swindle, this gives you the option of playing this if they don't actually do anything to actually get the Spell Swindle. Just gives you that flexibility. So it's a 2.25 for me. I can see this being a little bit higher rated, possibly in more of like a blue tempo or control that can draft. And that is our blue and our white cards, people. Thank you so much for watching and bearing with me and my fumbles here and there. It's been a long weekend and it's been a long day at work, but I appreciate you guys sticking around with me. I am super pumped for the pre-release this weekend. If you guys are excited as well, let me know in the comments. I want to know what's your favorite card so far that we've talked about. Is it, our big dinosaurs? Is it our planeswalkers? Let me know what you think about all the set down in the comments below. Don't forget to like, share, and subscribe to the channel. Check us out over on Facebook at EOT Newsflash, on Twitter at EOT Newsflash. Find us every week over at the MTG Cast. Just look for the EOT Newsflash as well on there. And also be on the lookout for us on Twitch at EOT Newsflash and find Sean at Busted Sleeves and Steven at S. Bill Pierce over on Twitch and Twitter as well. We constantly drafting and talking about Magic on Twitter. Join in the conversation. We always love to talk to you people. It's a lot of fun. So, tomorrow, we'll be back with the black and the red cards. And then on Wednesday, the green, the gold, the artifacts, and the lands, because that's how I do these things around here. So until then, thank you so much for watching. And yeah, Windstrider away!